Football fans, it's been a long time coming, but to steal a line from Sam Ellinger from Texas, we're back. It's another episode of the Underdog Podcast where we talk G5 football and only G5 football for Underdog Dynasty. And it's, once again, we're finally back. It's Joe Talk. It only took us about a month and a half to finally get back together. But it's me, Joe Serpico, and on the other line, it's Joe Brobeck. My friend, how you been?
You know, that might have been your best intro ever.
Well, I stole somebody's work, so it should be pretty good. How's it been, buddy? Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Welcome to well, it's like I said before, welcome to married life, but I don't know anything about it.
It's I made it. I made it to 2019. I made a nice addition to the family, or she made a nice addition to her family, whatever you want to say. Got a puppy, and life's pretty good.
Life's good for you.
Life is good.
That is good to hear. I've been working my tail off lately, but other than that, no complaints. Only complaint I'll really make, I guess, is that college football is over. So that's part of the reason why we're doing this episode here.
Amen.
Yeah, it's a sad time, because now is that time of year where, well, really all we got is the NFL. And even that's about to come to an end shortly soon, too. But we felt the need that since it's been so long since we've done an episode, we're going to have a lengthy one here. There's been a lot that we've missed over this time. When we talk about UCF finally losing, it only took 25 games for them to finally be dethroned as champions. We've got some coaching changes. We got some teams still looking for coaches. And then we've got the usual bottom feeders and some whole lot of news out of Houston. So we'll get to that at some point in this episode. But I guess let's just get it started. I kind of alluded to them a little bit, and that was UCF 25-game winning streak finally snapped in the Fiesta Bowl loss to LSU. And that comes after, because it's been that long since we've done an episode, that comes after beating Memphis in that AAC championship game. They finished number 11 in the poll. I guess the thing that really sticks out to me for UCF is, I said going into that game against LSU, I didn't think they really stood a chance. You give me McKenzie Milton, though, that's a different ballgame.
I just think the stress of trying to keep winning finally caught up to them. It, like, almost like losing to Memphis in the championship game might have actually been better for them. I don't know. It was, you know, like you said, it was a good run. 25 games is nothing to laugh at. It was fun to watch and experience. I mean, you and I experienced all 25 games together, so that was pretty fun. And it's tough, yeah, that Milton went down, but I don't know. They still could have won that game even without Milton.
They almost did. I mean, I guess that's what I really want to talk about, because after the fact, LSU, they said that there was no way that UCF could play in the SEC, and I thought that was pretty laughable considering the fact that, you know, they were leading 14-3 at one point, and then, you know, they rallied late to make it a ball game. You know, that last drive, I think it ended in, I can't remember exactly now if it was a turnover or a turnover on downs, but, you know, they were in position to keep playing with LSU the whole time. And this comes a year after beating Auburn. We just saw last night that even Alabama, maybe they're not as, I mean, they're still great, don't get me wrong, but they're not the same powerhouse as they were, because Clemson really took it to them last night. So all this talk that UCF couldn't compete, I think is complete BS. I think they actually, even in a loss, they represented the conference well, even though the conference as a whole really didn't represent well, in bowl season at least.
Yeah, it was definitely frustrating to watch, at least the beginning, and then Cincinnati, and I guess UCF losing doesn't really help, but at least Cincinnati showed up.
Well, here's my thing with that. So it's not like, you know, when we talk about these games for the AAC in bowl games, they're playing quality competition. Like, it's not, you know what I mean? Like, other than, okay, just let me, I have all, so UCF, or excuse me, USF lost to Marshall. Solid team this year, right? Memphis lost to Wake. AAC team. Temple got pounded by Duke. We'll talk about that a lot, a little bit. But, I mean, there's all these games against Power 5 teams, and I guess that's what we really wanted to see. I think the worst one, without a doubt, is the way the Houston just got. I mean, I don't even know what you say. Would you call that? That's not a beatdown. Embarrassing?
I don't know.
I don't know if there's the right word for what happened in that game.
Yeah, it was one of those you get to halftime and you realize, what am I going to say? Like, what do you write in a recap that describes a 70-14 beatdown?
There is
no, other than that.
But that's what it is. It is what it is.
It was awful.
Yeah. Now, we talked about UCF. There was one more thing I really want to talk about. Joey Connors lit up Joe Burrow. I was impressed.
Yeah.
He lit him up pretty good. But I give Burrow credit for, you know, I mean, he came back strong that game too.
Yeah, he played well. So two things with the UCF game was, the first thing was, it seemed like the coaching staff, just like the Memphis game, was really focused on getting him comfortable with they ran quick screens, they ran the ball just to get him like rhythm, and then it was like towards the end of the second quarter, beginning of the third quarter, they just decided, hey, he's going to win us the game and we're going to throw downfield a lot. It just seemed like, I don't know, they didn't run the ball as much. They expected Mac to make all these big throws when he couldn't. Mm-hmm. It just kind of took him out of the game. And the second thing is, going back to my point about maybe a loss would have helped them, UCF at the beginning was so focused on talking trash to LSU at the beginning. And it was just like,
I mean,
that was almost that Connors, more important.
That Connors play, they got the 15-yard flag on it for talking trash after the fact.
Right. Or then, like, I don't remember who did it, but the guy gets a sack or gets a fumble recovery or whatever, and then he like spikes the ball as he's celebrating, which, however you feel, it doesn't matter. Like, you can't do that. You have to have more composure than that if you're going to beat a Power 5 team. And it's almost like they did that last year, but it's almost like this year they said, well, we don't have to do that anymore because we won 25 games in a row. It's like, you can't just, like, give up your discipline just because you think you're better than everybody else does.
I have no arguments with that. I do think, I mean, if that's a team you're going to lose to, if you're UCF, you put that on your resume, my one loss is to LSU, and I don't have the final rankings in front of me, but I'm pretty sure LSU was ranked in the top, I would say top six, probably.
Yeah, I think so.
I think that's where they ended up. So, I you know what I mean? Like, if you're talking about in 26 games, you have one loss to an LSU team that's pretty good. I don't think that's anything to be ashamed of. And, we know that they're going to build on that. We already know that UCF is going to continue to rise. At least, I guess now the real question is, will be all eyes on whether Milton does come back next year or not. Because that knee injury, from what I understand, it's bad. He's already had like four or five surgeries already. So they don't know if he's going to really make the comeback. But I hope for, you know, his sake that he does.
And even if he does, the scary thing is, what is he going to be like even if he does come back?
Yeah, I think this is one of those injuries because I do think that he would – I never would have said he would have been a high-round pick, but I do think he would have went to the league. I think this injury really damages any of that potential, if it's really as bad as they say it is. Because if I understood right, it's almost as bad as what Teddy Bridgewater did to himself.
That's what everybody's saying, but I haven't seen anything confirming that.
I guess it's one of – you know, everybody's body's different, so I guess we'll just see how the rehab plays out.
Right.
Wishing them the best, obviously. All right, I guess this is the time we'll transition into Cincinnati. They are one of the few teams that actually picked up a win in bowl season. A 11-2 record, which is only the third time in school history that the team has finished with 11 wins, so I feel like that is pretty impressive. But I guess the more recent news that we should talk about is the fact that Luke Fickell was almost gone. He was seriously considered for the WVU job before Neil Brown took that job. So Luke Fickell is already seems to be looking outside of the conference after a solid year, you think he's actually going to survive? Maybe, I mean, if they have another solid season next year, you think they're going to survive and keep him around or not?
Well, so here's the thing with that.
Their schedule this year is rough. I looked at it already.
But if you go, why would you go to West Virginia after being in Cincinnati? Like, Cincinnati is a way better, but I would say that's a better program. If Fickell keeps going in the direction he's going, plus recruiting, like, who are you going to recruit out of West Virginia?
Yeah,
there's a reason why Dana Holgorsen left to Houston.
You stole the words right out of my mouth. That's what I was just about to say. There's a reason why he left there.
I mean, I'm not saying, like, any program in the AAC is better than West Virginia, but Cincinnati, with where they are in terms of recruiting and where the program's going, it seems like West Virginia is always a 8-win team. Like, that was the best team that they've had talent-wise in a long time. Like, maybe since Geno Smith and Tavon Austin.
And they went
8-4.
Yeah, they won nothing.
Which I was kind of annoyed with, but I mean, that's why Dana left, and he's went to a G5 school from a P5.
Yeah, we'll talk a lot more about Dana in a second, but I do think, you know, with Fickell staying, Cincinnati, yeah, I just mentioned that they have a rough schedule, but they do have a lot to build around. Especially when you have Ritter coming back, you got Warren coming back. Probably Moore, I don't know. Does Moore have like a ninth year of eligibility?
No, probably not.
Oh, he's not coming back? I felt like he would still be there for his ninth year.
Maybe he is. I don't know. He took over for that for the rest of the game because Ritter got hurt in the bowl game.
Yeah. That's honestly, so like, the funny thing is, a friend of mine asked me right away. He was like, God, Hayden Moore's still around? I was like, yeah, that's what we joke about all the time. He's been there for 10 years. God, he's been around forever.
Cincinnati's not winning 8 games next year.
No. Just because I looked at their schedule, it is a rough
UCLA schedule. And at Ohio State to start. And then to finish, they go, oh.
Their AAC schedule on the road is rough.
I thought the schedule's already out for some reason. The last 3 games listed are at Houston, at Memphis, at USF, but they don't have the dates yet because it hasn't been released.
No, but I do know all their road games are like, they're the tougher road games in conference. And then you mentioned that out of conference schedule, which is pretty rough itself.
Wow.
Yeah, they're not. We'll be talking about them maybe getting to 7 wins next year.
Yeah, I think this year was an anomaly, but I still think they're going in the right direction.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. I think that'll still be impressive. If you finish with that schedule we just kind of alluded to, finish somehow with 7-8 wins, that's not bad at all.
I hope they start 2-0. That'd be hilarious.
So do I. I mean, that's what we're here for, right? We want these teams to win.
Exactly.
Some of them. Some more than others. All right, let's talk about a team that has won 8 games for 5 years in a row. The only, I think, right? And I hope I'm right when I say that. The only team in the conference that's done that. It's Memphis Tigers coming off at an 8-6 season. They too lost in the bowl game, but at least they were a little bit more respectable compared to some of the other teams in the conference when they got killed. Once again, AAC West champions, and this, I mean, we kind of talked about it all season. We thought Houston was going to run away with it, and then we thought, oh, maybe Tulane would sneak in there, and then sure enough, Memphis just steady Eddie snuck into that game. And I think we should definitely talk about the fact that Darrell Henderson, the first All-American in school history, even though he didn't play in the bowl game, the guy's going to be a stud at the next level. I think you and I both agree on that.
Yeah, he's fun. I'm kind of mad he's leaving, to be honest.
I mean,
but what are you going to do?
Can't blame him.
No, exactly. Patrick Taylor would be just fine.
Well, that's the thing. Next year, so all their playmakers come back. And you're going to have Taylor back, Pollard will be back, Hoxie's back. But their problem is going to be is their O-line's not coming back.
Yeah, they got to replace 3 guys, but and their coaching staff. But, you know, Mike Norvell's still there, and as long as he's there, I have no concerns about this team.
Does it surprise you that he's still there?
A little. I thought last year he was gone for sure. this year it didn't seem like there were that many jobs that were that enticing for him. So it was almost like if he did leave, it'd be like, well, why'd you leave? You're leaving for, like, I don't know. It's like when Chad Morris left SMU to go coach Arkansas. Well, first, his record was pretty average, but, like, why would you go to Arkansas and just get beat up by the SEC West?
And that's exactly what happened this year.
You know, and it's, I mean, not that he was guaranteed to win in the AAC, but why would you go be you're going to Arkansas. Good luck. Like, Darren McFadden and Felix Jones aren't walking in the door anytime soon.
There's a trip down memory lane. Run DMC, so, Mr. Glass. Yes,
exactly. Just, I don't, it, you know, I don't know. So, no, I wasn't surprised that he's still around after this year, but, I mean, if they make it back to the conference championship again next year, then I would be very, very surprised if he was still around for a fifth year.
And there's really not much to, you know what I mean? Like, they can actually do that again. That wouldn't be a shock to me and you, I don't think, if they pulled that off again.
Well, who's their competition's going to be who? Houston again.
It'll be Houston again, exactly. I mean, it'll be a different Houston team now that the Holgerson will be there, but...
I mean, you could argue Tulane and SMU again, but maybe, I don't know.
We'll talk about that. Let's get in. Well, actually, let's just do Houston because we just talked about them. They
buckle up, people.
Exactly. They of every team in this conference has had, well, I won't say every team because there's the next team we're going to talk about has had themselves quite an off season, I guess, if you want to call it that. But let's start with Houston. Obviously, we talked about it earlier, the 70-14 loss, the largest defeat in bowl history, okay? We're talking about Army. It's not like we're talking about a team that airs it out, you know, this high, prolific offense that is used to scoring all these points. No, this is Army, who runs the option, who scored 70 points. That's just ridiculous. Now, I understand, okay, we were talked about early in the season, especially leading up to his injury, Derek King was the player of the year in the conference. And then you lose 4 or 5, you lose Ed Oliver, you fire your defensive coordinator, all this happens in the final 3-4 weeks of the season, and then you get exactly what happened, that's Major Applewhite fired. And arguably, if I can say that word, arguably, the wildest coaching decision of the season. You agree with that? By bringing in Holgerson and the price that they paid?
Yeah, I like it, though.
Oh, I love every second of it. You know what I didn't know? And apparently, he was still doing a weekly radio show, or, like, you know, making an appearance on a weekly radio show in Houston the entire time he was in West Virginia.
Really?
Yeah. I found that out doing my little research, and I was just like, man, that makes sense. Because just working 2 years... You know, under the Kevin Sondland when he did, you know, that wasn't, for me, was just like, okay, it's like that's not enough for him to keep coming, you know, come back other than the money, obviously. But then when I heard that little tidbit, I was like, huh, maybe he really didn't like Houston that much.
Did you know that he still has a house in Houston?
Well, I did know that, but, like, these rich guys got houses everywhere.
Yeah. Well, and he's good buddies with what's his face, the guy who. Is the billionaire booster, whatever his name is. Yeah, he. So, a lot of factors added up.
I mean, I think it was you said it, I said it. Great move for them. One of my good friends, he went to West Virginia, and he was just like a complete distraught. Like, why would you leave West Virginia to go to a G5 school? But, like, we have been
talking... get fired.
Well, that is maybe one of the reasons, too. But, like, we have talked about this all the time. Houston might be considered a G5 school because of the conference that they're in. But we all know when it comes to the money part, Houston is not G5 whatsoever. If you know anything about college athletics, you know Houston has some money and they can throw it around.
Which is why everybody was frustrated with Major Applewhite because... Well, okay, look, Major Applewhite is going to be just fine. Like, I don't dislike him. I don't think anybody hated him. They just didn't like how things were. He's at Miami
That's
with
right.
Manny Diaz.
No, we'll talk about him in a
But
second. Don't worry.
it's just like his personality is not really like a head coach personality. He's not gonna like make you want to run through a wall. He's just very steady and calm, and like he knows his X's and O's, but I just don't think that he was head coaching material. And it's almost fitting that the Army game happened, and it was the perfect way to kind of end his tenure, if you want to call it a perfect way.
I mean, there were reports that it was already kind of being discussed before that game, but that definitely did it to him. Like, that did him in.
You just can't go 7-5 and 8-5 in 2 years.
Well, and then there was the fact that, and I hope, I can't remember now if it was the president or the AD basically said, we're Houston, we don't accept 8-4. We expect to be a 10-win team every year.
Which they should with all the talent that's in their backyard. I was so frustrated with the last two recruiting classes. There's like a couple of good guys, and like this year, I said it. I said it feels like Houston's beating out a bunch of lower G5 and FCS schools for the recruits. And like that, does that get anybody excited? I get it's not going to be an Ed Oliver every single time, but like if you're beating out Southern Miss and Alcorn State for a guy, is that? I mean, it's one thing if it's one guy, but if you have, say, 12 recruits and 10 of them are those kind of guys, like, you're not going to find 10 gems. You might find one or two.
Well, just because I looked it up earlier, as of today, Houston's ranked sixth in the conference in terms of recruiting for next year. That's
Which
just,
they should be first or second.
they should always be first or second in this
They should
conference.
be competing with, they sh it should be UCF and Houston, one and two, every single year.
I would argue it should be, because Houston has the more long-term success. You know what I mean? That they should always be. Okay, UCF is more the new thing. You know what I mean? It's a flashy thing right now. So yeah, okay, they're gonna get some big recruits. Don't get me wrong, but Houston, since basically the conference has started, has been, I would argue, the most winning team.
Yeah,
So you would,
consistently.
and then even their history before that, you would think would help them be. I mean, what's the number that I have them at? They're 72 right now. Like, that's not where Houston should be.
No.
And maybe, and so I don't know exactly because I haven't been following you. Maybe you know better, but maybe this whole coaching change has something to do with that. Maybe people have decommitted since. I'm not sure. Actually, no, because now we have this new signing period, so they can't decommit now. They've already signed a lot of these kids.
Well, I don't know, because I read something that Dana said if kids wanna back out of their letters of intent, he's not gonna get in their way. So can you do that if it's a new coach? Like, is that allowed?
I'm not sure how that works,
You know,
because
because I'd be okay with some of those kids not coming to Houston.
if some of those things is, hey, it's just like Manny Diaz, man. You can just change your mind the last second.
Seriously.
You just change your mind, go somewhere else. Just do
Well, and
whatever you
Houston
want.
has like five more slots still open anyways, even if none of those kids decide to leave or can. I don't even know if they can still. But I mean, Dana's going to try to figure out something to bring them up. I don't know what he's going to do at this point, but is he going to bring some West Virginia kids? I don't even know what West Virginia's ranked in terms of recruiting.
Oh, same here, to be honest. But maybe he does manage to flip a couple, because right now Houston has nothing but 3 stars. Maybe he managed to get some 4-star to get in there somehow, because just based on his name alone, maybe it's possible. But
Yeah, I don't know. It's not good.
it's late in the game now. That's the problem.
Yeah, and I think honestly, people are confident that things can turn around now. If you had Major Applewhite, they probably wouldn't feel that way.
No, no arguments there. All right, it's time to talk the debacle that is going on in North Philadelphia. We kind of mentioned him just a second ago, and as Manny Diaz, he can just do whatever he pleases Temple's had two coaches leave in less than 3 weeks. And they're still in the market for a coach. Jeff Collins decided to go to Georgia Tech. Took a bunch of coaches with him in the process. Manny Diaz, originally committed to being the head coach at Miami. And now, here's my thing, okay? Mark Richt retires, and I said it right away. As soon as I saw the news, I was like, I know for a fact that Diaz didn't sign that contract yet. And I said, he's good as gone. But I knew it right away. It was just one of those things. When I heard that Richt was going to retire, which that shocked me itself. We could talk about that, I guess, for a second, too. I don't think anybody saw Mark Richt retiring.
Temple should hire Mark Richt.
Yeah, okay. Who, another quitter?
Well, it's better than what you got now.
We're going to talk about who we got right now. We're going to talk about who we got right now.
Actually, who's the guy that gave that speech? That was the
Ed Foley, who is the special teams coach, who at this
point,
I hope that guy becomes the coach. He has been the interim coach now after Jeff Collins and Matt Rhule. He has coached the past two bowl games when our coaches have quit on us.
You don't like quitters, do you?
I don't like quitters whatsoever. Finish the season out.
That's
and then
fair.
If you're Manny Diaz, I mean, the Manny Diaz things, I mean, is he a quitter? He never even started. So I guess you can't really call somebody a quitter if you never started.
Well, he did. Didn't he sign, like, his contract and everything? So, yeah, he did quit.
No, he never signed anything. That's why I knew. That's why I knew he was good as gone. There was nothing actually in stone.
But didn't Temple get money?
Temple did get money.
So then he did sign something.
Yeah, maybe he signed something. I don't know. He didn't sign his official contract. You know, because those contracts, they stretch, and they stretch months and months in. That's why I was just like, he's gone. Because that was his dream job. So that's why I knew right away that I was like, okay, he's not coming. He's going to take that job. He's like, why wouldn't he? That's literally what I said. So why wouldn't he? So now the rumors are Northern Illinois is Ron Carey. There's, I just said it, Ed Foley, Greg Schiano, who I really hope doesn't get the job. I was pulling for two guys. One of those guys apparently took a job today, so that's not going to happen. I was hoping for Todd Bowles, the New York Jets coach, but it sounds like he is going with Arians to the Bucks. So it's in my eyes, it's either Ed Foley, the guy we just talked about, or Fran Brown, who was supposed to join Diaz's staff, who has ties with Temple. He was already on the staff with Matt Rhule in the past. At this point, just give the man the job. Give somebody the job who wants to be there.
That's yeah, you got to be able to move on.
I want somebody who wants the job. It doesn't seem like all these guys don't seem like they really want the job. Ed Foley would take that job, and he's not going anywhere. I don't have to worry about that. Same with Fran Brown.
Exactly.
Like, I know those two guys, they would stick around for a while. The rest of these guys, I don't know about that. Mike Elko is another name they're talking about. He's the A&M coordinator. He's at A&M now. You think he's going to stay at Temple long? No. Don Brown is another name. Michigan coordinator. Another guy. Same deal. Like, I don't think he would stay long. Now, the argument for Greg Schiano is he has obviously been the coach in the area because Rutgers really isn't that far away. And Temple has done actually a very good job as of late snatching up a lot of guys from that area that would normally go to Rutgers. I guess that's not really saying much because Rutgers is terrible. But, I mean, we know the background with Schiano at Penn State, but I'm also, I don't know, there's just something about the way Schiano carries himself that I'm not a fan of. And I think that's what we saw about him when he was with the Bucks too. So for me, hire Ed Foley. That's it. That's the only guy I want. Unless, I don't even know.
Hey, if I get a speech like that every single week, I'm in.
Give me Al Golden every week. Give me Al Golden back at this point.
That's kind of desperate. Al Golden, really?
I was hoping Bruce Arians would come back. I didn't care. Literally looking for somebody who wants to be there. Not all these jobs where they're just kind of using us. I mean, Jeff Collins literally dipped out like that. Literally in and out, just like Adazo did. At least Rule and Golden, you know, they at least saw an entire class play out. The other two just were in and out. Broke my heart. Or we could actually hire. There's one other guy we can hire. I don't know if you saw this news, but there was the guy who drunkenly messaged the president and asked for his daughter to be the head coach at Temple University. I don't know if you saw that.
I think I did, but I didn't look. I didn't
the
read
guy
it
was
that much.
Hammered. You could tell just by the way he was typing it. He was hammered drunk. Keep her in consideration at this point, just for his, for his sake.
And seriously.
For the, and for the president's sake, he found your email that easily. All right, let's get out of my Temple rant. Let's talk about a team that I guess surprised us in the sense of, because, I mean, before the season, we knew they were that sleeper team. Season started, we were like, we don't know what to make this team. It ended up being a positive record in actually in the conference and as a whole, ended the season with a 41-24 win over, and I'm never going to call them Louisiana. They're still ULL to me. But that would be Tulane with their first bowl win since 2002 and only the fifth in their 125-year history of football. That kind of blew my mind a little bit.
So are we going to do this? Tulane is the dark horse team in the conference again, and then they lose their first three or four or whatever.
So I actually did a little bit of research on them already too. So Justin McMillian, who went 4-1 as a starter, he comes back.
He does? I thought he was a senior.
Yep, he comes back. If I did my research right, I read this from some Louisiana paper, I'm pretty sure it was. The top five backs are back. Darnell Mooney's back, who put on a show in that game against Louisiana. 15 of the top 20 tacklers are also back. And a pretty favorable schedule.
Unlike this year.
Unlike this year, yes. Their schedule this year was pretty rough. So, yeah, Tulane next year. I think the hype around them was 1 year a little bit too early. Granted, I think we're also forgetting the fact that they did finish tied for first in the AAC West. Believe it or not.
You know, they could make a run because Houston has to play Oklahoma, Washington State, and North Texas next year. So it could be Tulane and Memphis.
That's a solid schedule right there.
Yeah, that's playoff worthy if they win.
Yeah. They're going to have a ton of questions headed into the year.
that's the only problem.
I mean, we don't even know if King's going to be ready. Based on his injury, do we know he'll be ready?
Yeah, I mean, it was just a meniscus. Not that that's like an easy injury to come back from, but yeah, he'll be fine.
All right, I guess we will talk about the last team that finished with a winning record in the conference, and that's team that's Joe's favorite. That's those USF Bulls. They had a 38-20 loss and basically a home game in the Gasparilla Bowl, that being against Marshall. And I guess the one thing I really wanted to start this with is that Bulls fans got their wish in the fact that their offense coordinator, Sterling Gilbert, is out. He's now the head coach of McNeese State.
So USF's problems are fixed, right?
Exactly.
He was the issue.
He was
so
the
issue.
So
they're automatically going to be better because he's gone.
Yep. Now, okay, well, let's talk about the fun stuff. Both backup quarterbacks are transferring. They had 11 guys suspended for that bowl game, also four assistants. None of them are allowed back on that team next year. And some of those guys were solid players. And most of them actually played on offense, too. We're talking about a good chunk of the playmakers for USF's offense will be gone next year. Both backups gone. Anything happens to Blake Barnett, the Bulls are going to be in trouble.
Well, I've learned through unnamed sources, who I'm sure you can guess, aka the people in our comments section, that Barnett's going to be better because
he went down
Sterling Gilbert is gone.
Oh.
And they have a ton of talent at running back and wide receiver again this year. And their defense is good. That's what I heard. So they're going to be good again.
Didn't we hear the same thing last year at this time?
Oh, exactly. The exact same stuff.
And didn't they lose, what was it, 5 in a row to end the season?
Yeah.
No, excuse me. 6 in a row to end the
six
season.
6 in a row, yeah. I don't really care if that's your opinion, but like our opinion is out there too. And when we're right, no one admits it.
We're never right.
You know, 2019 is a different year. We're always right. That's what I'm going to say.
In 2019, you mean?
2019. Yeah, that's what I said. What did I say?
I thought you said 2018.
2002, we're always right. It's, I don't know. It's
also,
here's the thing. Like, what did we say this year with USF? When they were 7-0, they haven't beat anybody. And then it was, oh, will they beat Illinois and Georgia Tech? Okay, no, don't care. Doesn't count. Georgia Tech, look, they're okay. And then Illinois was, what, 4-8?
Terrible.
That's not a good win.
No.
And their other wins were against Elon, ECU, UConn, and probably Tulsa. I don't know. Just garbage.
Trash. And then the next... Trash for the best word.
And I understand that you're 7-0. Congratulations. But you didn't beat anybody. That's a thing. And then it just proved our point. The next six games proved our point. They couldn't win. It's literally, we said what we said. We had our opinions. And their fans were upset. Even though it was weird because the Daily Stampede was saying the same things that you and I were saying or very similar. And it's like almost like because we're not their blog that we're wrong. Doesn't make any sense.
We are wrong. We're always wrong.
Nope. 2019, we're always right.
Let's just get out of there because I don't even want to talk about them anymore.
We'll wait till the season begins to get back on it.
Yeah. They've got a lot of work to do.
Mm-hmm.
To get back in our good graces. All right, now let's talk about the team that was my sleeper team coming in the year, but they didn't play up to standards, at least for me, I guess. That would be SMU, finished with a 5-7 record, 4-4 in the conference. And I guess the biggest news coming out of this program is the fact that the school leader in passing yards, total offense, completions, and passing touchdowns is transferring. And that would be Ben Hicks. And I'm patting myself on the shoulder right now because I kind of called it early in the year. When they benched him that game, they were playing with fire, basically.
I was just going to say that I should tell you to pat yourself on the back for calling that because I agreed when you said it. It just didn't seem like Sonny Dykes and him were getting along, and it just, I don't know, just wasn't meant to be, and I hope he lands on his feet somewhere. I don't know where he's going, but I hope everything turns out for him.
Now, the thing that I think I'm right when I say this, he's not transferring as a graduate transfer, is he?
I don't think so.
So if he, you know, wherever he goes, I mean, basically, actually, he's got to go down a level. Because I can't see the NCAA giving him some kind of a waiver to be automatically eligible unless... So he's either going to go down a level or he's going to sit out a year.
I mean, maybe he'll sit out a year, go to a program that... I can't think of who would we go to. Go to ECU. No, wait, don't go to ECU.
No, because they each... Well, we're going to talk about them in a second, but even ECU maybe has a quarterback.
Go to USF. They need all the help they can get.
Yeah, I agree with that. In 2 years, yeah, because Blake Barnett will be gone. I just solved your guys' problems, USF. You're welcome. All right, let's talk about the four bottom feeders in the conference. One of them, I feel bad saying as a bottom feeder, but they were this year. That being Navy. Didn't make it to a bowl game this year. I called their year before the season started. I really, really didn't like their schedule. And that's exactly what happened to them. Their schedule just kicked them in all season long, basically. But I think what stings them most, obviously, would be this is the third year in a row they lost to Army after dominating that series for the better part of the past millennium, let's be real.
I mean, okay, so you did call it, but did you see them going 3-10?
I saw them winning four games, actually.
I think 3-10 surprises me.
Wow.
You know the worst part about that?
They had all that, because that's what I, when I made this prediction, it wasn't, because yeah, Navy's offense, it travels, let's just put it that way. But it was all the traveling that Navy had to do. They were literally, 1 week they'd be in Annapolis, the next week San Diego. They started here in Hawaii. Then the next week they were in Annapolis. And the following week they were in Texas. And then they were, you know, back home in Maryland. And then they had that game in San Diego against Notre Dame. So they were literally all over the country. Only Hawaii traveled more. And I knew that was going to catch up to them at some point.
And now
travel by sea, so then I had to do all that air travel. It was guaranteed.
Yeah. You know what's scary, though, is Malcolm Perry's their only returning quarterback now.
Yep, I was actually going to bring that up. Actually, so just to go even further with that, only 6 starters return on offense and 5 on defense.
Yikes.
They are looking at... they're going to be with a losing record again next year. I'm sorry. Unless they find another quarterback, because I think they even realize now that Perry is not a quarterback. At least doesn't run their system as a quarterback well. He's better suited as their slot back or whatever their terminology is that they're using down there.
Right. And he can run, but I think he's 5'9"?
He's too small. He can't take the pounding. He could take the pounding of 10 to 15 carries a game, but not the Navy quarterback carries that, you know, he's going to take it a good 25, 30 times, which is what we saw from Keenan Reynolds for all those years.
Exactly.
So that's the problem. Unless they have somebody coming in that we don't know about, and based on what their recruiting ranking is at 105, I don't see that happening. So I don't know what Navy's going to do down there. I think next year is going to be another year of another year they're going to lose to Army for sure, and they'll probably be in the bottom 4 teams again in this conference.
Yikes.
Now here's a team that I think next year maybe will compete. We'll see how it goes. That being Tulsa. Now they finished the season 3-9 and at one point had a 7-game losing streak. But they did show me a little something in that last game to beat SMU to spoil their bowl bid. I think we didn't really mention that with SMU earlier. They had a chance to make a bowl game, and Tulsa ruined that for them. You know, Tulsa is a team where at least one Montgomery held on to his job. But Tulsa next year, maybe they can make a run next year.
Either that or the other Montgomery's on the hot seat, which he should. I mean, well, he should be on the.
I was gonna say
be on the hot seat coming in.
Yeah, he's when we talk about this next year, there will be one of two names that'll be on the hot seat. Another guy we're gonna talk about in a little bit. How the other guy still has a job is beyond me.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting. That's for sure. I mean, I feel like Tulsa's a quarterback away from, a passing quarterback away.
Yes. Emphasis on that, passing quarterback. Because they seem to have bits, you know, they have some pieces, but they just didn't have a quarterback this year.
Exactly.
They literally couldn't get anything done. Now, on the flip side, the team that I have bashed arguably the most the past 2 years, that would be ECU. They finally did what I've been asking them to do, though. They finally just said, you know what? It's time to give up on Scotty Montgomery. Guy went 9-27 in three seasons there. You know, every year was the same thing. It was 3-9 every year. Now, the one good thing that he will leave Mike Houston, who was previously the JMU head coach and is now taking over, he did leave him with a dual-threat quarterback in Holton. And is it Ehlers or Ahlers? I don't want to
Ehlers. I've heard Ehlers. Ehlers. That's all I've heard.
Okay. Who looks like he might be something that ECU could build around. And it's more of finding some, you know, some things around him. But he looks to maybe be somebody that ECU can work with. Almost like a David Pindell at UConn. Let's basically just put your best athlete at quarterback and hope something good happens.
Yeah, it's going to be hard with Trayvon Brown gone, but I like where ECU's going. I don't necessarily know if they're going to...
You just mentioned Trayvon Brown. The one thing about ECU that I never understand is they always seem to have the, at least one good receiver.
Right? Isn't that crazy?
I don't understand how they pull that off, but they always manage to have that one guy.
Yeah, and now they got to find a new guy, but they do have some talent coming back. So, I mean, you mentioned Ehlers, and they got a couple running backs that I like.
It shocked me to see ECU's ranking for this year being 67. That shocked me, because considering the fact of what we've seen from ECU, like what has enticed these recruits to go there.
Right.
But that's going to give Mike Houston something to work with.
Exactly. Yeah. That's why I think they're going to be better next year.
Yeah, that'll be something to keep an eye on.
Get you off the hate train.
I was just about to say that. Maybe it will get me in their good graces. We'll see how things go. Maybe that's what I need. Maybe I need a nice coaching change.
There you go.
Who really needs a coaching change is UConn now. Is David Pindell
gone? I thought I saw he's a senior.
Is he really?
Yeah, I think, yeah, so that's, ugh.
So they have nothing next year.
I mean, they got some offensive weapons, but they don't.
Wait. They do have something. Hold on. They have three things. They have the record for most yards per game. So it's 617.4. They have the record for most points per game allowed at 50.4. And the record for most total points against is 605. That's what they got. And they got Randy Edsall. I live in Maryland. So Randy Edsall has been in front of me for a while now. Guy's terrible. How he is still a coach in the FBS level blows my mind.
Yeah, it's not going well.
No, it's not. 1-11. I mean, what is there to say? And it's not just a 1-11. Like, it's literally beatdowns in every game.
And then struggle to beat an FCS team.
And exactly. Win that game by a touchdown.
Yeah.
This is a program that, and we've said in the past, that wouldn't surprise us if they decided to just get rid of the program, because it doesn't seem like... Just by retaining Edsall, it doesn't seem like UConn cares about their football program. Like, they're totally fine with just being who they are. Now, I understand Edsall, this is the second time around. The first time he was there, they had some, if you want to call it success, like going 500 is success, but I guess that's the standard at UConn. I don't know.
Yeah. But it's all relevant.
Well, here's the thing. So this is the argument we have tried to make now for 2 years. So if the conference really, really wants to make this P6 movement that they keep talking about, you need UConn to play its part. At least ECU, you know what I mean? Like, I've knocked ECU a lot, but at least they're trying. Tulsa, they've been bad this year, but at least they're trying.
It's not even like the in-conference play. Because obviously you don't want everybody to have a similar record. You really need them in non-conference. That's really where you need to make your mark.
Yeah, and at least, you know, like, teams right now, like, literally put UConn the same level as, I mean, let's just talk about mid-tier FCS teams. Like, that's the level that they're on. Like, North Dakota would be a huge favorite against, or North Dakota State would be a huge favorite against UConn. Eastern Washington would be a huge favorite against UConn. Huge.
Yep.
Like, I would be willing to put that at least a 2-touchdown favorite. Either one of those teams. And it's just the direction that UConn is going in, it doesn't help the conference. Now, UConn does help the conference in basketball, obviously, but at least for football, like, they don't contribute whatsoever.
Yeah. That's the hard part, is they're frustrating.
I mean, even the recruiting ranking shows 123rd. Like, they're not trying.
Bad.
They're not trying. When I say that SMU, who was one of the bottom five teams in the conference, they finished at 63. I said earlier, ECU, 67. These are two of the five worst teams in the conference. They are two of the top five teams in terms of recruiting next year. Meanwhile, you got UConn, who's just all the way at the bottom at 123rd. Like, just doesn't seem to see the effort in the football.
Can we trade UConn for, like, $5?
Or SMU? Or a JMU, I meant to say?
Sure, yeah. Or, yeah, or just get rid of them.
Wichita State? What was the other ones we've talked about coming in this year?
Just the football program. We'll trade them for $5.
That's cheap. I like $7.
Let's trade them for Wichita State's football program.
That works. At least they're trying to have a program. They're trying to bring it back. At least they're trying to bring it back. Somebody's trying. UConn is not. And all right, I guess we'll end this episode on this note here. AAC 2-5 in bowl games. Only the MAC was worse at 1-5. But here's the thing, like I kind of said earlier. So we play quality opponents in this conference, because if you look at the three conferences with the best records, it was Conference USA, Sun Belt, and Mountain West. I think we can all agree that those three conferences aren't on the same level as the American.
I would agree.
All right. Anything else you want to add on this long-anticipated show by all of our great listeners who probably don't listen anymore because we haven't done this in a while?
Hopefully they're still here. And
we did have a couple of people ask for us.
That's true. That's true.
Just had
all three listeners.
Yeah, that's true also.
We appreciate all three of you.
It's just that we usually do this on Mondays or Tuesdays, and the holidays have been Mondays, Tuesdays, and work, and Joe married, and you know, life happens.
Minor details.
Life happens. But we're glad to be back talking football, even though college football is over.
Exactly.
We'll still find things to talk about this offseason. But I guess on that note, this is the time to end this episode. If you are not following us on Facebook and Twitter, please do so at Underdog Dynasty. You can follow me on Twitter at Joe Serp. Joe, where do they find you?
Joe Broback.
All right. And that's why we're called Joe Talk. Once again, thanks for listening. And hopefully it doesn't take us another month and a half to do another AAC episode.